thing. You know, I suspect that many in this room know from memory Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians, I see a few. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. But do you know what immediately comes after that? Paul describes the first result of being under the Spirit's control, we sing. There's music. Right away, according to Paul, we communicate as a result of His presence and His residence inside of us, our own individual concert of sacred music right up to Him. That's right. And guess what? In that passage, and every other passage I have looked at about this subject, a church building, a room to meet in, and an hour to do that on Sunday is never mentioned at all. I mention that because we Christians have so focused worship music as something occurring on Sunday morning that we seldom engage in it once we leave this place. And the tension over worship music has resulted in Time magazine's cover story boldly describing the American church as music wars. How sad. Music wars in the American church today. Maybe you heard the, remember the story of a farmer way out in the country who decided one Sunday morning to get up and go into town and find the church they used to go to a long time ago and see what it was all about. And so this farmer headed into town, and he went to a church, and when he came back home, his wife said, "How was it?" And he said, "Well, they don't sing hymns no more. They sing worship choruses." She said, "What's that mean?" "Well," he said, "let's see, maybe I could describe it this way. If I was to say to you, Bessie May, we need to feed the pigs. Amen. That would be a hymn. That would be a hymn. But if I was to say, Bessie May, it's time for us to feed the pigs, amen, that would be a worship chorus." Now, that was his idea, not mine. But how sad. And it's true, we have all kinds of various styles, don't we? The way we sing in this church week after week bears little resemblance to the way the church sings in Japan or Argentina or up and down this valley, for that matter. Worship music is important to me. Some of you find it completely unimportant, music. Some of you don't even like to sing. I can even see that from up here when I'm looking at you on Sunday mornings. Your lips are barely moving, and you're shifting from one foot to the other, and you, at times you kind of check the time here. What's going on? You're watching everybody else. I can even anticipate your response right now. "Pastor, you haven't heard how poorly I sing. I don't sing. The Bible says make a joyful noise, and I've got the noise part down. But my singing sounds like an injured moose." I hear you. The problem with that reasoning is that you're not singing for me or for somebody sitting right around you in your row. You're supposed to be singing for the pleasure of God, who accepts your music better than I do, who loves your music because it comes from your heart, whether or not it's on or off key. Now, as you know, our current series on personal worship has to do not so much with this hour and what we do and what we plan and how we engage in this together, but it has to do with what's going on all week long with worship in your heart. How has it been again this week? Did you think about that at all? We've talked about it for 3 weeks. How we should be worshiping God We take the temple of the Holy Spirit with us all the way to work and at school and home and all during the week. And have you been worshiping God in your heart, in your spirit? And have you been singing anything to Him all week long? Or is this the first time you thought about music? Was great is thy faithfulness. Let heaven and nature and people sing. Stop and think about it with me. Did you sing on the way home from church last Sunday? Probably not. How about Monday morning when you were driving to work or around the supper table with the kids in the evening or Tuesday when you were getting dressed, etc.? Chances are we didn't even sing before or after we spent any time with God at all last week. True worship puts a song in your heart all the time. The theology and the melody lingers on as you move through the hours at work, which can be difficult, as you spend time with your family and your children, or as you thank the Lord for another good day and drift off to sleep. I know some folks who exercise with praise music in their ears. Maybe that's you. And even say it gives them a second wind as they jog or do their aerobic exercises. It's a shame so few families still sing together like my family did growing up. There was a time when singing was an important part of almost every family reunion. Not so today. Music helps tie families together, and the content was often the greatness of our God. Music is such an amazing thing. In fact, my wife insists that studies show her, she gets these studies from Better Homes and Gardens, that your plants do better with music. See, you have some friends out here, dear, that agree with that. And she also claims that our dog is calmer. You wouldn't know it when you come home, but calmer when we're gone and music is playing in the house. So at the Pearsons, music's always, always on. I don't know about that. We'd have to check that. But let's find out what Paul says is important in your music ministry at home. And when you're in the car and in your heart before God, if you brought your Bible, turn to that passage I hinted at, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 right now. This is Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. We're going to look in a moment at another verse that is a parallel passage in his letter to the Colossians. But this one begins, chapter 5, verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We sing because His Spirit fills us. There have been many things said about what happens when we're filled with the Spirit. Many unusual things in other churches. Controversial things, as a matter of fact. But the Word of God right here says that when the Spirit of God comes within us, we begin to sing. There's music everywhere when we're filled with the Spirit. We admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And since our bodies have become the temples of the Holy Spirit and we take the temple on the road, we're supposed to be offering God music all week long. Now, look over to Colossians. You're not far. This is a parallel passage, I think. The same tone from Paul's heart and mind to the church. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. We sing because his word indwells us. We sing because the Spirit fills us, and we sing because his word indwells us. Seems to me that Paul's letter to the Ephesians points to our being filled with the Spirit, while the letter to the Colossians refers to our being filled with the Word of God. And guess what? We need both. Both are important, the Spirit and the Word, as we go about our individual, personal worship of God. In a sense, one reshapes the heart, and the other reshapes the mind. The Word of God provides the content, while the Spirit helps us apply it. It seems to me, if you think about it, all the great hymns and songs of worship today are really the ones drawn from God's Word and led by God's Spirit. Those are the songs that speak from the heart right up to heaven with God Himself. And sadly, there is so much controversy today over what kind of music is fit for worship. Should we sing the old hymns? Should we sing the new songs? Should we sing directly out of the Bible, out of the Psalms? And the answer is yes. 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 All of that. Think about Paul's reference to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know what that would be? His first mention is psalms. Well, to me, clearly, these are the psalms that we have in the very center of our Bible. All the way from Moses' great song of deliverance that he offered all of Israel to David's many, many, many psalms. They were sung. They were sung to God. They were worship. They were praise. It was a great time. It was what was led in worship all the time. I believe that when Paul mentions the psalms, he's talking about the ones we find right here in our Bibles this morning. But how about the hymns? Well, these were some of the songs that came out of the first century as the church was in its infancy and it was growing. These hymns might have included certain New Testament passages that were being tossed and mailed and sent around, explained and viewed by the churches that met. Many scholars believe that Philippians 2, 5 through 11, which is one of Jeff's favorite passages, and mine too, the great passage from Paul to the church about the way, the attitude that we should have, might have been a song because of its wording, its tone. Might have been a song that was sung by the early church, a hymn. In any case, we've been singing and writing and singing hymns ever since then. Fanny Crosby, who was blind, composed over 2,000 hymns. That's a lot of work. I can't imagine trying to write one. Maybe I could. Maybe you could. Maybe that's what God wants from us, is just to open up His Word and ask His Spirit to lead us in our singing, our worship of our great God. Those may have been the hymns, and we sang one earlier this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I love the words of that. It points to the Father. He is good and He has been great. But what is the spiritual songs He adds? The psalms, the hymns, and spiritual songs. It's right there. And what does that mean? What did that refer to? Literally, it's a really intriguing little wording, phrasing, because it's odes to the breath. Kind of weird, isn't it? He uses a phrase in the Greek, odes to the breath. And it was thought to mean more coming from your heart and out of your mouth, things that were more spontaneous, perhaps more natural, truly supernatural, thoughts coming from your heart and your mind as you sing them to God. I think that's beautiful. It's a natural outpouring of what is happening inside of me and my heart comes out in the way I sing to Him and offer praise to Him and give Him joy and give Him my worship through spiritual songs. All kinds of styles and voices and instruments could fit that. You know, at Mountain View, I'd like to think that from year to year, we have had a variety of styles, at least a lot of the time. And we certainly have had a mix of age groups and backgrounds and attitudes, or our music. It should change all the time as people change, as God speaks to us in our hearts all the time. The hymns, they tend to speak to our traditions, and that's not a bad thing. Spiritual songs speak to the themes of the day and what's running in our hearts and minds right now, also not a bad thing. I believe we must be willing to wrap the truths of the past in good new packages of the future and the present. I just want you to notice in both these passages that Paul did not say in psalms or hymns or spiritual songs. He uses and. God wants us to sing all of that. At times, psalms right out of the scripture. Just present it to him. Just sing to him. At times, great hymns of the past as they usher up wonderful themes and true theology to God. And at times, the spiritual songs, perhaps the outpouring of our hearts to him. Always combining the Spirit and the Word. I want you to do that this week at home. Some of you have never sung anything at home because you're convinced nobody wants to hear you. He does. He does. He wants to hear you. He wants your heart. He wants you to sing. Maybe around the table, maybe all by yourself, that's okay. Or outside, nobody be bothered there. And he loves it. I want you to sing. I want you to praise him. Offer music to him from his Spirit and out of his Word. Open up the Word and sing a verse of the Scripture. Try it. Just sing it. Instead of always reading it, sing it. Make sure nobody's around and just start singing. I really believe he smiles at that. He wants that from our hearts. He wants us to do that, to offer that up. Because all the great worship music is something that should not just be done here on Sunday morning. It should be done all week wherever you and I are. Because it affects our hearts. And then affects where we are working and living and dealing with issues and people. And praise him. Just start singing. God wants our worship music to come from the Word and be led by the Spirit. Those are the two ingredients I see in both those passages. Sing this, or sing this, or sing this, whatever. Sing this, all of it. I want you to do that, but I want you to be in the Word, God says, and to be led by the Spirit, God says. Makes the best worship music of all. I want to share with you an illustration for a moment of a song that I think includes that. It's a fairly current song. It's a song that talks about the Word, comes from the Word and from the Spirit of God deep within. It's a song by a composer that we do a lot of his songs here on Sunday morning named Don Moen. Maybe you didn't even know that, but he writes a lot of beautiful worship songs. And he wrote a song called God Will Make a Way. While Mr. Moen was traveling through Texas, his wife's sister and her husband were traveling with their four children, and they never saw the approaching truck. And the truck driver never saw them, and they engaged in a terrifying, fatal accident. One of the four children was instantly killed, and Dad, who was all right, at least, and rushed over to try to help everybody else in his family. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It seemed to sense the Spirit of God saying to him, Jeremy is already with me. Go help the others who are still alive. He sensed that voice. He sensed that what God was telling him to do, and he turned all of his attention to everybody else. And it was an awful, awful, awful nightmare. Him. And Don Moen got the call that night, and when he drove across Texas somewhere there to find his family and the next morning be with them and help plan what would be an excruciatingly difficult funeral service for this one tot. Turned off by the side of the road and turned to the Word and read Isaiah 43:19. "Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will make for you a way in the wilderness through the rivers of this desert." He penned some words. 2 days later, at the memorial service, he sang the song God gave him. To his family, God will make a way. Out of the Word, filled with the Spirit. Watch and listen to that song right now. Right now. We'll make a way where there seems to be no way. We cannot see. Make a way for me. Be my guide closely to His side. Each new day He will make a way. He will make a way. The wilderness, He'll lead me. The desert will I see. Earth will fade. Something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. We cannot see. He will be my guide, sleep to His side. New day will make a way. He will make a way. Huh, does it get much better than that? From the heart? Now you know the story. Makes all the difference in the world. Pulled off on the side and read that verse. Music came from the Word and from the Holy Spirit Himself, leading and directing a song of worship and praise to a God who will be there in the midst of our worst difficulties and somehow promises to make a way. Maybe worship music from here at its best. It comes down to a bottom line of whether or not that heart of music in you this week is all about me or all about Him. When it's all about me, it's going to be all about evaluation and criticism, me. Especially here in this hour or other times when we gather with others, we're thinking through. And if it's something on our heart and mind about whether it's on key or off key, too loud or too soft, or to this or to that. Chances are, at least if we're not careful, it's all about me. What he wants is to be all about him. That's why even if you sound like an injured moose to me, he loves it. Hard for me to get over it, but not him. He loves it. He wants you to sing this week. Will you? Find a place, find a time, sing something to him. He would love it. It's part of the personal worship the Scripture teaches me. We often have talked and preached about worship in this setting, how it should be done, and figured it out and moved things around like we did this week. But it really impressed me in the Scripture again this week that personal worship means it's in here and it can be anywhere and everywhere. So take that with you. Your body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit, so take him on the road, and it's school or work, wherever that is for you, and whatever the circumstances are, whatever, wherever, worship. Read the word, sing the word, compose a little song. He just gets so excited if he heard that from you. That's what he wants. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you have created music. Let all heaven and nature and people sing. You have given us this ability, and you love it. You've created music in us. It's one of the most amazing things we can even think about because you created it for us to enjoy, but for you to enjoy from us. Music. It is amazing, Father. It's evidenced all over creation. We're taught in your word that even when we don't sing or we don't know how to sing, the rocks and the hills sing. They shout out the blessing and the glory of you, our Father. I pray that you would allow your children here to find a spot and a place, a time to sing to you this week. I hope there's individual concerts going on all week long, Lord. Impress us with that from your Spirit. Give us courage to do it, consistency to remember it, and the joy deep within to just enjoy it. To enjoy it, to give you that kind of glory. We love you, Lord. We sing to you these praises this morning, and we offer you a song from our hearts. And we're going to do it together. Father, all these voices, you're really listening to the hearts right now. You're listening to what's going on inside of us, the hurt, the pain, the joy, the victory, lots of different experiences. But right now, we can sing. It matters not really what's been going on this week and whether it's been a difficult week or a terrific week. Right now, we can sing. We can sing praises like this unto you. May you be honored and glorified in what you hear from us right now. In Jesus' name, amen.